hard, heavy, and hell. Badass music for badass listeners.
This is Sam Bam Colton from Dorothy, Faster Pussycat, and Butterside, and you're listening to the Hard, Heavy, and Hair Show with Pariah Burke.
A few years ago, LA Guns guitarist Ace Von Johnson told me I should absolutely interview a guitar phenom who replaced him in Faster Pussycat. Ace introduced us, we agreed to an interview, but then the world shut down. It took a while, but Sam Bam Colton and I finally got together for an interview.
Become a hard, heavy, and hair backstage VIP at patreon.com/pariahrocks. Support the creation of the Hard, Heavy, and Hair Show. And get access to exclusive content, early previews, and even help program the show. Hard, Heavy, and Hair patrons get free stuff no one else gets. For as little as $1 a show. Patreon.com/PariahRocks.
Sam Bam Colton, Dorothy, Faster Pussycat, Butterside, welcome to the Hard, Heavy, and Hair Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you and I were hanging out after your recent set with Dorothy in Portland, and you walked out from backstage wearing a metal splint on the metal finger of your left hand. As a guitarist, you're constantly working the fretboard with that finger. So when I asked you about it, how did you break it?
I was moving and I was really, really hell-bent on trying to get as much stuff done as I possibly could before I had to leave again on tour. And I slammed a bed frame down on my middle finger. And it was something that could have been avoided by waiting an extra 5 or 10 minutes, but it happened. So I got out on the road. Actually, before I got out on the road, I did a couple shows with Faster Pussycat, and then I flew out to start the Dorothy tour. And I'm like, this kind of just still feels weird. Like the first Pussycat show, I couldn't really play with it. The second one, it was better. The first show with Dorothy was at an arena, so the adrenaline took over and I didn't really even notice it. But then the next day I'm like, this doesn't feel good. And I got it x-rayed and found out it was broken. Non-disjointed fracture. So it feels pretty close to being okay, but I'm still just wearing this during the day to keep it safe.
Yeah. So what does the non-disjointed fracture mean? Is that better than other kinds of fractures?
I guess it's better than other kinds. Yeah, I guess it isn't. Okay. It means that it didn't like fully break. I guess it was like kind of like a crack, maybe. I'm not completely sure, but I was told that out of all the things that could have happened, that was the best case scenario.
That's good. I'm sure that was a big relief, given, you know, you're a guitarist for a living.
Yeah, it was a bit of a relief for sure. But I was certainly bummed, you know, because I'm like I don't know. I'm a hard critic on myself. So even when I'm at my 100%, I still kind of am a bit critical of myself. So not being able to be at 100% was quite a bit. It was frustrating. But I played a few shows without my middle finger. So I made a smaller splint because this one's kind of bulky. I made a smaller one and just made it through a couple shows without my middle finger, and then got the word from some doctors that it was okay to use it as long as I was icing it afterwards and then keeping it in the splint. So I just started playing the shows again with it. And then I just went back to my regular gauge guitar strings, I think two shows ago. So it's feeling better.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, and like I told you that night, I was in the front row of the concert, and I'm, you know, I was right there at the stage and I'm watching you play. I had no idea your finger was broken while you were playing. I didn't notice. And I caught some video of your performance, and I even went back and looked at it. And I was like, I mean, if you really scrutinize, yeah, there's a little bit of the middle finger not moving, but I just thought that was your technique. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, and I don't know. There's not much technique here. It's just kind of like whatever happens.
Gotcha. Well, okay. That was some killer playing.
Thank you.
Broken finger, even if you didn't have a broken finger, that was some killer playing. But a broken finger on top of it, that was just legendary playing. And I'm just being honest.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
And you were playing with Dorothy that night, like I said, and you were also filling in for both guitar parts, because a lot of Dorothy's songs were two guitars.
Yeah, the current version of the band is just touring with one guitar, and which for me personally is very fun because I love the challenge of trying to make it sound big as one person. And really kind of, you know, working well and paying attention to the drummer and the bass player to like really kind of have it hopefully sound big. And so in some parts you're covering two different parts, or you're just trying to make it sound big and full, I guess, is my biggest goal.
Any Dorothy songs you found particularly challenging to do that with or to play in any other way?
Not really, because it just kind of like make a mashup of the couple parts. Or I'm not the first person who has done the one guitar version, so there were a couple versions of things to go based off of from Nick Perry and from the guitar player they had right before me. And so there were a couple things to go off of, and then I kind of came up with a couple things myself to do. And really probably the hardest song to do all the parts on are something off the new record, like Rest in Peace or Black Sheep or A Beautiful Life, just because there's so many layers and things. But we get the point across.
Yeah. So that new record, Gifts from the Holy Ghost from Dorothy, are you on it? Did you record?
I am on some of the songs, yeah. It's a big eclectic mix of a bunch of players actually on that thing.
Yeah, I saw a pretty big list. What songs in particular are you on the recordings?
For sure, I'm on the entire song Made to Die. That one was completely untouched from the sessions that we did. And I think there's some parts left in on A Beautiful Life and possibly a song called Big Guns. It all kind of got mashed together. She brought it to, I guess, Chris Lord-Alge came into the picture after the sessions that she brought myself and her bass player Elliot. She took us to New York to record, and I guess after those sessions she just, you know, maybe wasn't totally excited about how it went. I'm not completely sure, but then Chris Lord-Alge came into the picture, and then she went and did a lot of other songs with some other people. So when we did our sessions, Rest in Peace, Black Sheep, Hurricane, Touched by Fire, and then like one or two other songs, Top of the World and a couple others, those songs didn't exist. So we recorded a bunch of other songs. To me, it's a great thing that she ended up going back and doing some other stuff, because then she got those really, really great songs out of it.
So is this something we're going to hear, you know, there's going to be a rare and unreleased record at some point with those songs on it?
I'm not sure. Maybe some will come back, come back and get reworked for her next record, or maybe she'll write some new ones. I'm not totally sure. It'll kind of be like see what happens. There were a couple really cool things though from those sessions that I hope get either reworked or used somewhere.
All right. Yeah, hopefully we get to hear them. So, how is Dorothy Martin to work with in the studio?
And
Or in
I mean, it's
general?
it just in general, I mean, it's great. It's she's just such a great singer. I mean, she's unbelievably talented. She's super cool to me. She's like the old big sister I never had. So I've got her, and then my buddy Ace Von Johnson is my adopted older siblings. And yeah, she's awesome. She's badass, if I can say that word.
Oh yeah. I can bleep. Yeah, so it was actually Ace Von Johnson that introduced us. I don't remember if he actually introduced us or I had been talking to him and he's like, "You got to talk to this guy, Sam Bam Colton. He's just amazing on guitar." And then a lot of things happened the last couple of years, but I'm glad we finally connected for an interview.
Yeah, I'm glad we did too. Yeah, I can't remember if he connected us like in person or in digitally. It might have been digitally. I
It
don't know.
was digitally because when I met you the other night, that was the first time you and I
That
had
was the
met
first.
IRL. Yeah.
Right.
So let me ask you, how is Sam Bam Colton to work with? We talked about Dorothy, but how are you to work with?
How am I to work with? I don't know. That'd be a better question for somebody else. I hope the answer is easy, because I try to be easy. I don't think I feel like in most of the situations I'm in, I'm the one causing the least amount of ruckus, because I really just care about playing guitar and sleeping.
Those are your two main interests.
Yeah, those are really my main interests. So, I don't know. I would hope the answer would be easy or something positive of the sorts.
All right. Well, that is what I've heard from other people. But yeah. So how are you in the studio? I mean, what kind of player are you when you're in there laying down tracks or, trying out riffs?
I just try to, I don't know, try to come up with something that to me sounds different, or hopefully sounds a little unique. Everything's been done before. There's only 12 notes on the fretboard.
Right.
And so trying to find something that just sounds a little different, really. That's what I try to do the most. So whether that's writing riffs for Butterside, or coming in on the faster Pussycat material that Tammy's kind of had laying around for a while, and then coming in and kind of beefing up the guitars and switching out a couple parts, coming up with something else that could work. Or if it's with Dorothy, just trying to come up with something else to layer in. It's really just trying to get creative. And just I kind of just sit there and do stuff till I come up with something.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I want to ask you about Butterside, but first I want to go into those comments you just made on Faster Pussycat. So with
Yeah.
Faster, you're working on your so you've been dividing your time between Dorothy and Faster this concert season, right?
Mostly, yes.
And there is new music by Faster in the works. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah. So Tammy just signed a deal with Golden Robot Records. So we are going to be putting out some singles. I think the plan for the first one, I'm not sure, don't quote me, because this is just what I was told, but it could have changed. I think they want to re-release NOLA, that we re the new single we released in 2021. Since we kind of just put it out and it was like, boom, here's a song, but it didn't really get like distributed, or I don't really know how any of that stuff works.
Well, I can tell you from my side of it. So I usually get music sent to me, you know, every Friday. It's like this giant, you know, in my inboxes, there's a giant set of music. And it's from labels and it's from pluggers and it's from distro services. And I had to go hunt down that song. It did not come through the usual channels to me.
Right. So we're going to, I think that song is going to get re-released so that that isn't a thing. So people aren't scouring for it. Yeah. And then there's more songs. So there's two more songs that are mixed, mastered, ready to come out. It's a new original and a new cover. The original, I believe it's called Like a Ghost. We've just been calling it Ghost, but I think Tammy wants to actually call it Like a Ghost. And then there's a cover of the Buffalo Springfield song For What It's Worth.
Oh, wow.
So those two are ready to go. And then Tammy's been working on another song called Motorbike that I've played a bunch of guitar on. And it's kind of like I kind of just need to get back home so we can do a few more things on that song, I believe. And then we'll just kind of keep working on some other ones he's had sitting around. I've played on a bunch of stuff so far. I think it's just kind of now maybe it's just getting serious about it.
So is this going to be a new LP on Golden Robot Records or just singles or an EP?
It might eventually become a record, but I think the current plan is to do singles and then like an EP kind of thing. Which it's kind of like, honestly, it's kind of a similar thing to what Butterside is doing too with the singles. Cause it's like the song gets to come out, people get to have it for a while. They get to live, you know, it gets to have like a life kind of, instead of just putting out a record of 10 or 12 songs. And then it's just like, it's there. And then, you know, I guess cause people's attention spans are, everybody's got ADD now.
Yeah. And it's
for whatever reason.
A lot of it too, is people don't sit down and listen to records anymore. You know, they just don't listen to an album. They don't, in my opinion, they don't,
yes.
You know, it's just the way music is distributed these days. You know, we're all on the go. We're all moving. It's easier to load up Spotify or Apple Music or something than it is to carry a bunch of CDs or cassettes and, you know, put them in one at a time.
Exactly. That was a way better way of trying to say what I was trying to say.
Yeah. And there's some artists, particularly in the pop and hip hop world, that are just going singles. They're eschewing albums altogether, you know, and I wonder I feel we've lost something. I don't know about you, but I love sitting down, just listening to a record and hearing the through thread between songs. You know, it's not just, there's an art to arranging a record and not just, you know, one song at a time.
Well, honestly, I'll tell you on that subject. I mean, even like listening to records fully is kind of a more like within recent years thing for me, because I grew up as a kid really just loving certain songs, because my household, LimeWire was a thing. So my dad would download songs and then he would burn CDs of these songs.
And so right now the FBI office in St. Louis is mobilizing.
Oh yeah, it's they're coming for me. They're tracking me down in South Bend, Indiana right now and coming for me. But so that's,
oh, I meant for your parents, but I assume they're still in St. Louis.
oh right, yeah. So that's it. It's more of like I'm saying like the last, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. Kind of really getting into just listening to the records all the way through. That, I mean, that's what I'll do all the time now when something new comes out. I didn't listen to the new Ozzy record until I could listen to the whole thing all the way through.
What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I think it's awesome. What do you think?
Yeah, for the most part. There's a couple of songs I'm like, eh, but the majority of it I really like. I mean, the collaboration with Tony Iommi and Eric Clapton. Oh my God. Ozzy
That's
and
my
Clapton.
Favorite song. Oh. That's my favorite song.
Yeah, I can see why. I mean, Clapton's as good as he ever was.
It's just all the different people that are on there. It just fits so well. It was just like, oh, that's cool. It's just some really, really cool songs. And I think it's great.
Yeah. It's funny. I was thinking earlier today, who was I? Oh, Tom Hazard is going to see Post Malone tonight. And that brought to mind Ozzy's collaboration with Post Malone. So I was thinking about, you know, how Ozzy just stretches and does stuff and works with a lot of different people, you know, and it was cool to hear him back together with Tony Iommi, but Ozzy said in interviews, he won't do much more with Tony because then it would just be a Black Sabbath reunion. But yeah, it's really cool to hear these collaborations he's doing. And the Elton John one, you know, that one I really like too.
On the last record, yeah, that was really, really cool. Elton John and Slash on a song. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, again, I want to come back to the Butterside, but since we're on this topic, who I know you've done a bunch of jams. You're in three active bands right now, but who have you not played with that you would really like to play with? And if you we can expand that to living or dead.
Yeah, that's such a long list. How do I even narrow that down to an answer? I don't know. I mean, I guess the number one I'd have to say, just because he's my favorite guitar player and musician, would be Jerry Cantrell. So getting to play with him someday would be unbelievable. I don't know. Other than Cantrell, it's really, there's just so many. There's so many that come to mind. I don't know. Alice in Chains, Shinedown.
You've opened for Shinedown.
Just did, actually. Yes.
Did you get to jam with them at all?
No, not jam with them, but we get to hang a little bit. Zach, the guitar player, and I met Zach for the first time when I was 14. And he's not that much older than me. So, like, he was, like, maybe 10 years older than me. So it was, like, we were both fairly young-ish. He was basically, like, my age, actually. And, we hung out a bit, and it was really, really cool. Because, I mean, I grew up listening to that band and loving that band. And to be opening for them was really, really cool. And then we did Rocklahoma with them and got to hang out with Zach and quite a bit. And it was rad because we've only kind of, you know, known each other because he went to he mentioned something to the rest of the band. And he's like, oh, that kid used to come to our meet and greets. Cause I did. I did. And, so they were all really, really cool. And the shows were great.
So was it like a fairy tale to you? Go to the meet and greets, then you're hanging with them and playing, opening for them? Or was this just, you know, you knew you were always going to get there?
I can tell you, just to splash a little bit of reality for everybody, I can tell you everything about the day. Because the show where we were opening for Shinedown, we did two shows with them, but one of them was a festival. The first show of the tour for this tour was that show with Shinedown in Knoxville. It was rescheduled because I guess one of them got sick, I guess, at the end of their last tour. And so it got rescheduled, and Dorothy was slotted as the direct support middle band. And I can tell you that everything about that day, other than the show, was a nightmare.
Oh.
Because Let's see. That show was on a Sunday. We flew on a Saturday. I got a call on the Friday. So on that Friday, I was sound checking at the Whiskey for the Faster Pussycat show. Our tour manager calls us and he said, "Hey, I'm going to send you these pictures. Can you identify the gear that's on these pallets?" And I'm like, "Okay." So I get these because our gear was freighted to the first show. So the first show was in Knoxville and we were going to be flying in. So we wrapped our week of rehearsals and then the gear got sent away. So he's like, "Yeah, can you identify some of the pieces on these pallets?" And I'm like, "Okay. Well, that case looks like my main guitar. That case looks like my number two guitar. That case looks like one of my 412 cabinets. That case looks like my pedal board. What's the deal with these?" He's like, "Those aren't going to make it to the
Oh,
I'm like, "Okay, what happened?" It's just like they just got, I just whatever, the freighting company left a couple pallets behind. Those pallets, it wasn't only my gear. They contained, starting with Dorothy's suitcase, I guess that had a bunch of her stuff that she needed to get ready for the show. So just like different show things, not like completely wardrobe things, but just like, I guess, makeup and girl stuff. The drummer's kick drum. So he had the rest of his drum kit, but he was missing a kick drum. The bass player's two main basses and his bass amps, his case that contained his two bass amps. And then my two main guitars, 412, one 412 cabinet, and my pedal board and my acoustic, but I was only bringing the acoustic for like radio stuff on tour. And so that's how it started. So we show up and there's some half backline rented gear. I flew with another Les Paul, and luckily I'm a gear addict, so I had a lot of pedals laying around. I grabbed my pedal board that I threw together for the Pussycat shows, and I threw a couple of pedals in the bag, and basically got to the arena and assembled a pedal board that I was hoping would work and cover the songs that we had to play. And that's how the show went. And it's, an arena with 10, 15,000 people. I don't know how many people were there, but it was a lot of people. And, just kind of fingers crossed that everything went well.
What was the response to it, or how'd you feel coming off the stage?
Felt like, I was like, "Okay, out of all the gigs, that was one of them, but I think it was okay. I think it was okay." It was, again, so on the last Dorothy tour, every situation is different. So on the last Dorothy tour, we were on in-ear monitors. So we weren't using monitors on stage. We had an in-ear mix and we were traveling with a front of house console that basically, I guess, somehow with technology stored our in-ear mixes. So every day we would come in and just have to make slight tweaks depending on the room. For this first Shinedown show, that was the only show of this tour that we were going to be on in-ears because there was a different front of house person coming with us, so we weren't going to have the same setup. So that first show, we were all on in-ears because we were also there were you couldn't have wedges because the way their stage was designed, their stage was insane, by the way.
What was
Like it was like a there was like a catwalk that felt like I was it felt like a mile long. It just stretched out in the audience, and we were mostly set up in front of the PA, so you had to be on in-ears because if you pull the in-ears out, there's like a delay. But their stage design, mind you, me saying that it's crazy, I mean crazy in an incredible way because they designed it to where basically in this arena there wasn't really a bad seat. They kind of get out, and it's not like they're playing in the round, but by the time they get out to the front of the catwalk, they're kind of like in the middle of the arena.
Oh, wow.
So it
And
was
was that
really,
just Brent
really.
or did everybody? Sorry to cut you off.
No, the whole band was out there.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the drummer was obviously kind of more in the back, but no, the whole band, that was the stage. It wasn't like their little spots to go out were on the catwalk. That's basically what the stage was. There was a stage part that went across, but then it had their whole like lighting screen thing on it, and then right in front of that was the drums, and then that was basically their whole stage was this very long catwalk, and it was amazing.
But you didn't get a chance to really make use of it.
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay. So you
I'm
weren't
on
just, I
wireless.
thought you said you were just parked in front of the amps.
So I'm on wireless, and Dorothy was, they allowed us to use the catwalk. They're like, "Oh, you're able to go out and do whatever you want, because that's the stage." So Dorothy was going out, and I'm like, we were set up really kind of far back. So I was like, okay, well, I just kind of walked out there for some solos, because it's like, okay, what else is there to do, I guess. And it was really, really cool. Part of my family came, my parents and one of my sisters came for the show, just because the family is also, they're a fan of Shinedown, and they were fans of Dorothy. My parents and my sisters loved Dorothy, and then when my sisters found out that I was going to be playing for her, that was like, it was a moment of like, wait, you're playing for her? We actually like her.
That's really
It's
cool that
cool.
you can have your family come see you play and that they're excited about the band you're in.
It's cool. Yeah, they all they like luckily they like all the things that I do, so it's cool.
All right. Right on. That is really cool. So tell me about Butterside. Tell me what's coming up with Butterside and what's going on.
Well, we shot a couple other music videos before I left for tour, way back in March, 7 years ago, it feels like. And so we have some more stuff that's going to come out soon. We put out from our new stuff. So we put out a year ago. Actually, it just had its 1 year birthday. The first song we put out was Voices, and that came out in September of last year. So we have five new songs that are out: Voices, Ghost Lighting, Too Far, Never Worth It, and a song called The Truth. And those are all from the sessions that we've done, the five of us together, with this producer, Matt Good, who works out of Arizona. And so there's three more songs that are ready to come out. And then we want to go record four more and have a full record. It's just kind of waiting for the time for everybody to be back home, because we're all doing other things at the moment.
Can you, so your Butterside bandmates, what other projects are they in?
Our singer Patrick Stone just started singing for The Sweet, so he's been doing a bunch of gigs with them, which has been cool to see. Other guitar player Logan, he was playing with the singer Diamante, and then he started working for the Pretty Reckless as a tech. So he's teching for the bass player and the drummer with them. And then Gabe, I believe, is still kind of doing some 27 stuff here and there, some Kurt Cobain stuff. And then Jeff, our drummer, is doing a bunch of stuff at like Six Flags. It's kind of like a big like Halloween thing right now. So he does some of those kind of more corporate-y gigs in LA. And so everybody's kind of, in the middle of some stuff right now. Me, I left in March for the tour. We were gone from March to May. We were gone 8.5 weeks, and then I was home for 5 days, and then I left for the Faster Pussycat tour, and that was 10 weeks. And then I was home for like 16 days, not all at one time, because Dorothy had a flyout show. And then I started moving, or that I moved. And then I came out on this tour. So there hasn't really been time to breathe, let alone work on anything else.
So how much longer are you on tour? I know you got South Bend, Indiana tonight.
We actually have a day off here today.
Oh.
We're here in South Bend, and then we do Cleveland and then Waterloo, New York, and then we have a day off near New York. So I think we're going to be able to go into the city. Then we have a show in New York, and it's all kind of a blur after that, except we're doing my hometown, which is St. Louis, Missouri, on October 1st, which I'm excited about because I haven't played in St. Louis with Dorothy yet. And so this wraps up October 8th. So I think we have about like a little over 3 weeks left. So we're about halfway through. And then I'm home for a week. And then we have a flyout show the following weekend in Fort Worth, which should be a pretty fun show because it's with Disturbed and Asking Alexandria and Drowning Pool and us and New Year's Day. And I think a band called Mothership. Super cool, kind of like stoner rock band.
Oh, right, right. You were telling me about Mothership. That's right. I made a note too. Yeah, I wanted to check them out. I was like,
yeah,
that sounds familiar, but I can't place any music. It's because you told me about them.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, they're kind of like a Corrosion of Conformity or something like that. Kind of just like a real kind of Sabbath-y just sludge.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. And I was telling you, I was a big fan of Monster Magnet for a minute.
And, oh, that too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's who I'd love. That's who I'd love to play with. Add that to the list.
Oh yeah.
That's like at the very top of the list, like right after, if it was at all humanly possible to play with somebody like a Jerry Cantrell or like an Alice in Chains, it'd be Monster Magnet, just because I have loved that band since I was a little kid, and I'm still just obsessed. I still just go and I'm like, I was literally just watching a video the other night on the guitar player, Phil, just talking about his guitar tone. And I'm still just like,
what about it was blowing your mind?
Just how good it sounds.
Oh, okay.
Just how great the guitar tone sounds. And just, I just love the riffs and I love their songs and I just love their whole kind of spacey thing. And I don't even know how to describe it, but that's always been like the number two band to me. It's always been like when I was a little kid, you know, when growing up, it was always like, you know, Shinedown was like my favorite band. And then, but always Monster Magnet. And then when I got into Alice in Chains, that's been the number one for at least since I was like 15. And, but Monster Magnet has always been the one and a half.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll let you go pretty soon, looking at the time here. I just want to ask one more question, which you're probably going to hate, but 5 years from now, where are you? What are you playing? Who are you playing with? Where is Sam Bam Colton?
Possibly another day off in South Bend, Indiana. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm very much a see what happens kind of person. You know, the Dorothy thing even just kind of came up really kind of out of nowhere. And it's been really, really fun. And I very much love this gig. And the Faster Pussycat thing, you know, I went to that just to sub for Ace. And then they ended up wanting me to stay. And, you know, Tammy asked me to, you know, keep playing with them. So Everything has just kind of been like, oh, okay. It just happened. So I don't know. I'm really hard at thinking in the future because I'm very much just kind of, focused on living in the present. So.
Yeah, you've always struck me as a kind of a very in the moment kind of person, which is why I thought you'd hate the question. So, but I wanted to ask anyway.
Oh no, I mean, I don't hate it. I'm just I wish I could answer it better, but I don't really know. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to jinx anything. I don't know because it could, so I'm just kind of like see what happens, but hopefully in 5 years everything is still going well and maybe I won't break any more fingers. I don't know. Knock on wood. No, there's no wooden here. Wait, got it.
So, if people want to find out where you're playing, is it on your socials? Is it
Yeah,
in?
pretty much. I try to stay on top of posting stuff on social media. So if you do the social media thing, it should be at Sam Bam Colton on everything. KOLTUN. I post the most on Instagram. So if you guys want to go to Instagram, that's kind of where I post the most. And then Facebook, at least on my friends page, I'm like basically maxed out, but there's another page that I share all the posts to that should also be at Sam Bam Colton. And Twitter. I still don't really know how to use Twitter, but stuff shares there too, so you'd find stuff. And at least for the current Dorothy tour, if you go to dorothyonfire.com, that'll have all the information
Oh, I thought
for
it would
the
be
dates.
sorry. I thought it would be it's Dorothy Sucka. It's dorothyonfire.com.
Dorothy on Fire, and that's Dorothy. I think some people think it's only one O, Dorothy, but it's a Dorothy. And so that's dorothyonfire.com. That'll have all the dates that the remaining for this tour with Dirty Honey and the festivals that we're doing and headline shows. And fasterpussycat.com. I'm not sure if we're doing anything else for the rest of the year though. Not totally sure. And butterside.com if you want to see more.
And
And
for those that don't know, it's BUDDERSIDE, not there's no T's, it's butter, not butter.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so all you can find all that stuff if you go to my social media or just yeah, anywhere.
All right. Well, Sam Bam Colton, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, this is Tracy Guns.
Hey, this is Cassie Paris.
Hey, this is George Lynch.
Hey, this is Red Beach from Whitesnake.
Hi, this is Connie Bloom from Electric Boys. You're rocking out with Pariah Burke on the Hard, Heavy, and Hair Show.
Looking for interviews with the rock gods of yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Find them on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/pariahrocks. Remember, to hear the music discussed in this interview, stream the on-demand Hard, Heavy, and Hair Show at pariahrocks.com.
That's PARIHROCKS.com.
Also hit pariahrocks.com to stream or listen on a radio station near you. The regular 2-hour Hard, Heavy, and Hair Show with me, Pariah Burke. Hard, Heavy, and Hair is your weekly dose of hard rock, heavy metal, and hair bands from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 20-teens, and today, including the latest new releases, your old favorites, and deep cuts and rare hair, along with rock news and trivia.
This has been a Pariah Burke production. Copyright 2022. PariahRocks.com. The home of hard, heavy, and hair. Send requests, fan mail, and nude photos to Hard, Heavy, and Hair on PariahRocks.com. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Pariah Rocks.